I got to admit it's going to be maybe a brief homily today because we have an 8:30 mass, a low mass coming right at the heels of this, and so I have to be reasonably quick moving along. I want to read to you just little pieces from Bishop Hying's letter, pastoral letter, on the recent racism and violence that has been occurring in the country. He had asked us to preach on this, if we could, for what's normally Corpus Christi Sunday, and here it's the second Sunday after Pentecost. So I'll just read little bits of it, just so you're aware of this pastoral letter that went out this week. Bishop Hying writes, "The lives of black people do matter. They matter profoundly because God has created every human being in his beautiful image and likeness. Every person is of infinite value, so precious indeed that God spent his life and offered his death for the eternal salvation of each individual member of the human race. In this moment of challenge and decision regarding race, a cacophony of voices and opinions have exploded. What are the lasting and transformative solutions? How do we get to the core of the matter?" He goes on, I skip a little bit here. "Because of our sinful and fallen human nature, a flawed innate tendency in the human psyche often feels the need to define as other some group or group or some person or group that is different from us, someone whose humanity or even very existence needs to be diminished, mocked, excluded, or even eliminated. Think of Nazism and the Jewish people, or the generic enemy during any wartime, the native peoples of the Americas, the native peoples of Africa, the unborn child, or even the child in school who gets bullied. A particular way to view the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ is his identification with the other and the outcast. In his trial and condemnation, Jesus becomes the criminal, the rejected one, the scapegoat, upon whom is cast the hatred, sin, and evil of humanity. This current moment of protest will only bear lasting fruit if it is radically grounded in a vision of human dignity and nurtured by a spirit of reconciliation." He gives an example. Imprisoned in Auschwitz, St. Maximilian Kolbe urged his fellow prisoners to love and forgive the Nazis. "If we do not, we are no better than they. Tolerance is not sufficient. I do not want simply to put up with people. I want to love them. I do not want to coexist with others. I want to be in communion with them. Such a vision demands a spiritual perspective." He gives an example to read Dr. Martin Luther King's letters from Birmingham Jail, if you've ever read that, but it's a great testimony to the natural law, which is available to everyone. Dr. Martin Luther King expounded very eloquently on the natural law. It's always interesting if you put a very spiritual person, religious person, in jail in persecution, you're going to get a very good letter out of that, right? St. Paul, Dr. Martin Luther King, etc. As St. John Paul reminds us, the human person can only flourish, fully flourish, in a society with a healthy public morality, a functional democracy, and an economy ordered to the good of everyone. He says most of our national founders were deists. While not necessarily practicing Christians, they acknowledged the existence of God as a benevolent providence from whom flowed the dignity of the human person and the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The shared conviction that God created the universe and invites humanity to order its affairs in a revealed morality is sorely lacking today. Tolerance and goodwill are thin fare to hold together a society which so absolutizes individual autonomy at the expense of the common good, and in many ways has pushed religious values out of the public square. He says the truth of the gospel demands us to go out in search of the lost, the marginalized, and the dehumanized, and to proclaim the good news of God's love and the inherent dignity of every person. Violence and lawlessness will not bring about the communion we need and seek. We must condemn as well the violence against protesters and police in these past weeks, which has even led to several deaths. So what does this moment of protest and challenge ask of us as Christians? Certainly to pray for peace, justice, and reconciliation, for an end to violence and its causes, to fast and do penance for healing and forgiveness in the world, to study the scriptures and the teachings of the church, where we will discover God's desire for us as a nation and a people, to take actions of mercy, forgiveness, service, and healing as best we can, to volunteer for service to marginalized and suffering people, to pray for our government leaders, healthcare workers, the police, the victims of injustice and violence, and all those who are suffering in any way right now, to examine our own hearts and ask the Lord to eradicate any prejudice, hatred, fear, or lack of forgiveness, to proclaim fearlessly Jesus Christ as a source and model of mercy and justice. And Bishop Hying finishes the letter, "This Paschal banquet participates in and foreshadows the celestial marriage feast of the Lamb in the kingdom of God, where all sin, hatred, and division and death will vanish forever. This love is the ultimate solution to our torment and division. This love never fails. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.